language. It's not necessarily anybody's favorite thing to do or to study, but as she was studying that and studying the words of the parts of speech and what different words mean, I was actually reminded that it's a really good example of what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday. We are taking a little bit of a break. This month has been a little bit different for us. We have Palm Sunday to start it, then Easter, and then last week was Pastor Mark's last Sunday. And so we've been kind of celebrating all month. And so I thought rather than just jumping straight back into our series through Mark, that we should maybe take a little bit more of a break and focus on something else. It gives us an opportunity. And the thing that I thought, you know what, this is something that I've talked about a lot over the last year and a half. Something that I think is really important, but something that maybe I haven't actually done a great job of explaining, is discipleship. Now, discipleship means a couple of different things, and this is why my daughter's school had me thinking about this, because it's a word that can have two different meanings. It can be used in two different ways. The word disciple, where it starts in English, is a noun. It's a thing. It's a person. But disciple in the church can also be used as a verb, something that you do. And so I thought, well, as we talk about discipleship, it's got these two different meanings. And so we have to be clear when we talk about it that we know what it is that we're actually talking about. So we're going to break this topic up into two Sundays. We're going to look at the noun part of it this week. Who is a disciple? What is a disciple? And then next week, we're going to look at the verb side of discipleship. How do we do it? How do we actually help each other along the road? So this morning, we're going to be looking, as I said, at the who. Who is a disciple? Or as the sermon title says, that's on the screen and in your note sheet in your bulletin, being a disciple, not just a believer. This is something that is very important to Jesus. Being a disciple and not just a believer. And there are plenty of places that we could go in the Bible to look at this and to know that Jesus wants us to do more than just say that we believe. He wants us to be changed. He wants something to be different about us. But the place that we're going to be looking at this morning is Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, right at the end of the chapter. And so you can listen or follow along as I read Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This may seem an odd passage to you to take and to say this is what we're going to look at to define what a disciple is, but this is really a perfect opportunity for us. There are three interactions that Jesus has here, and these three interactions with these individuals are all about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. As we look at this, as we talk about what this word means, I came across this in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. A disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. One who accepts and assists in the spreading of doctrine or the spreading of teachings of another person. That is what Jesus is working at on these three individuals, and that's what he wants from us. People who accept, but not only accept what he teaches, people who also assist in spreading that message. And so this morning, I'm going to give you kind of my definition of what it means to be a disciple right up front, and then I think we'll see how this fits with the passage that we've just read, and we'll talk about it from these verses. Being a disciple means being fully committed to learning from and following Jesus. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, what that means is that you are fully committed to learning from him and following him. And this is what we see in these few verses. At each of these interactions, we can pause and we can see how they fit part of that statement that I just gave you. It starts with the first one. The first point being that we need to follow Jesus wherever he leads. We need to follow him. This man that comes up to Jesus in verse 57 says, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus' answer to him is probably not what we would expect. Jesus' answer is not, "Great, I'm glad to have another follower." His answer is to tell him right up front what it is that he is asking. He says, "You say that you're willing to follow me wherever I go, wherever I lead you. Do you mean that? Do you mean that you will really follow me wherever? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you willing to go there? Or would you really still rather have a nice bed at home? Really, you don't want to actually leave the community that you grew up in. And really, you don't want to make new friends or meet new people. You say you want to follow me, but what are you going to actually give up to follow me?" There are examples of this all through history, all through church history, even all through the New Testament. People who gave up everything to follow Jesus. And we can see these people. We think of the great missionary efforts. People who would, the story goes that many missionaries who were going off to foreign fields in the 18th and 19th and centuries, they would actually pack all of their belongings to go on these ships across the ocean. They would pack all their belongings in a casket because they were going and they were not coming home. They knew that they were going to serve Jesus and tell people about Jesus in a foreign place, and they knew that they were going to die there. Now that might sound like an extreme example to us. But then we start to ask the question, well, where is the line? How much comfort do we have in order to make following Jesus worth it? I think this is something that we here in America really struggle with. Many of us have a lot of comforts. We have a lot of things that make us comfortable. And so we can say, "Oh, of course I'll follow Jesus. It's not that difficult." But what about in a world that it's becoming more difficult to follow Jesus? Or what if he calls us to do something that we don't feel ready for? Or a place that we don't want to go? Or to people that we don't really want to interact with? Being a Christian, believing in Jesus, it does not guarantee an easy life. Jesus is very clear about that. He's very upfront about that. This is not just something that you add to your profile on your social medias. "Oh yeah, and I'm also a Christian." No. Following Jesus might mean giving up things that we are used to. It might mean giving up our own comfort. It might mean giving up our finances. Whatever it is that we have to be willing to set it aside to go where and to whom Jesus wants to send us. Are we really willing to do that? Maybe it is to go and to serve as a missionary. I think of a young couple that was here in our church last year, the Bottomleys, who were here. They had grown up in this area, and they were looking for something to do. Matthew had a good job doing something that he kind of liked doing, but they ended up leaving and going to serve Christ. Maybe that is something that God is calling you to. Maybe it's not that extreme. Maybe it's just meeting your neighbors. But are we willing to go and do that? Are we willing to follow Jesus where he leads, even if it's difficult? But secondly, It's not just that everything is bad and everything's going to be hard. There's a second thing that we learn about discipleship, about what a disciple is. In this second interaction, we see that being a disciple means being with Jesus and learning from him. Being with him and learning from him. Jesus starts this interaction. This is not somebody coming up to him. He points to somebody and he says, "You, follow me." And this guy, I think, feels a little bit put on the spot. And so he says, "Sure, just first, let me go and bury my father." Jesus has one of the hardest sayings in the entire New Testament to this. "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now there is a little bit of debate about what exactly was going on here. It could be that this man was legitimately saying that his father had just died and he needed to go and take care of his burial, and that Jesus is denying him that. That's a possibility. I think a greater possibility is that this man's father was older, aging, was getting close to death, but was not actually dead. Especially when you look at the customs of the time, it would have been really unbelievable to think that this man whose father had just died would not be with his family and he was out following Jesus. That's just not the culture that they lived in. If this man's father had just died, he would have been at home with his family. In fact, not only that, he wouldn't have been able to go out in public, because if he had seen someone die, he would have had to take time for purification according to the Old Testament laws. So the fact that this man is out with Jesus, I think, leads us to say that this man's father was not dead. And so when he asks Jesus, "Let me first take care of my father and take care of his estate and bury him," he's actually asking for an indefinite amount of time before he starts following Jesus. "Let me just go and wait. And once my aging father has died, then I will follow you, Jesus." This is not what Jesus is asking of his disciples. He's not asking them to say, "Yeah, I'll get to it eventually." Jesus is not here saying that we don't care about people, we don't care about mourning the loss of loved ones. No, he's not saying that. But he is pointing out how valuable it is that when we follow Jesus, that we be with him and we learn from him immediately. What does Jesus say to him? What does he say he's going to do? First, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." There's a play on words there with "leave people that are spiritually dead to bury those who are physically dead. But as for you who are spiritually alive, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Well, how is this man going to go and proclaim the kingdom of God if he doesn't know what it is? Jesus tells this man to follow him. So presumably, he either has not been following him for very long and Jesus is telling him to follow him, or he doesn't follow him at all. And Jesus is saying he needs to start following him. Either way, wherever this man is at in his walk with Jesus, this man is not ready to go and proclaim the kingdom of God because he has not been with Jesus and he doesn't know what it is that he needs to say. So part of Jesus calling this man to be a disciple is that he is going to be with Jesus and learn from Jesus, and then that he will go and he will proclaim. This is an important message for us to hear. If we remember that definition that I had read earlier from Merriam-Webster, it's just the definition of the word in English. It's someone who accepts the teaching but also assists in spreading the teaching. This is what it means to be a disciple. It means being with Jesus, learning from Jesus, so that we can go and tell other people about him. There's a purpose to being a disciple. And it's not just so that we can get out of hell at the end of our lives. There is more to it than that. There's an urgency, a great need. This man should have seen that. He should have seen that he has a great need to be with Jesus, to know him better, so that he can learn from Jesus the message so that he can tell it to other people, people who are spiritually dead and dying. What would be best for this man's dying father is to hear about the kingdom of God. A disciple is one who learns the message from the teacher. And what's the message that Jesus wants his followers to learn? It's the gospel. When we boil it right down, it's the gospel. Gospel meaning good news, the good news of Jesus. And so it starts with this. To be a disciple, we have to know the gospel. We have to know the good news of the kingdom of God. And what is that good news? Well, it's that Jesus Christ, God himself, came to earth, took on human form, lived a perfect life, died in our place because we were sinners deserving death, was raised to life, and can save all those who trust him by faith alone. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus came, died in our place because we deserved death, and now we can have eternal life through faith in him. We have to know that in order to be considered a disciple of Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. There's something else that is implied in this statement. We also have to learn to love the gospel. It has to become part of who we are. And so I would encourage you to say, love the gospel, recite the gospel, think about the gospel regularly. A part of that is reading God's word and seeing how it gets worked out. But part of it too is just thinking. This is what we mean when we talk about meditating. We mean thinking about God, thinking about what he has done, allowing that, as Paul says, to renew our minds through the washing of the Holy Spirit. As our minds and our hearts are renewed by the Spirit, thinking about what God has done, we will grow to love God and his gospel more and more. And I really firmly believe this. That leads to a third step. We know the gospel, and as we love and meditate and recite the gospel to ourselves, it will lead to us sharing the gospel and telling other people, showing other people in the way that we live, in the way that we speak. We will share the good news of Jesus with others. That's what Jesus calls this man to. Follow me so you can go proclaim the kingdom of God. We need to be with Christ in his word and in prayer and in thinking about the gospel so that we can know him better, so we can share him with the world. This is what it means to be a disciple. It's the heart of being a disciple. Being with Christ, learning from him, so we can assist in proclaiming him. Now, thirdly, there's a third interaction here that we see, and in this point we see that Jesus is expecting that disciples are fully committed to him. We talked about this a little bit when we talked about following him. Are we willing to follow him into difficult places or with difficult people? But there is a full commitment that Jesus is looking for. The third man, I think, presumably is watching the first two and kind of thinks that maybe he can do this if he takes a different tact. And so he tells Jesus he will follow him, but on one condition. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. Is that a bad request? No, that's not a bad request. In fact, in 1 Kings 19:19, the prophet Elisha makes the same request of Elijah. And Elijah says, go. Say goodbye to your family. It's not the request that is bad. It's the way, it's the heart, it's the intentions of the man. Think about this. Jesus has just told these other two what it takes to be a disciple of his. He's told them that it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, but you need to go wherever Jesus leads. And then he tells this other man to follow him. He says, let me first bury my father. And he says, no, it's more important that you're with me. And this man comes and thinks, but I can still put conditions on how I follow Jesus. No, you cannot. we don't get to put conditions on our following Jesus. Jesus is making this point with the final statement that he makes. He wants the whole person to be committed to him. This is not something that we do once a week on Sunday mornings. This is not something that we do once a day in our devotions at the beginning of the day. Following Jesus is all that we do, all the time. Now, I haven't done that perfectly. I'm going to assume that none of us do that perfectly every single day, but it's what Jesus calls us to. And so each day we start the day over and we say, Lord, help me this day to follow you. We don't follow Jesus for what we can get out of it. I don't know what this man was hoping to get out of this, but I certainly have known people in this world that follow Jesus for what they can get out of Jesus. They think that by following him, they'll get something. They'll get money or wealth or a nice life or recognition from other people. We don't follow Jesus because he can do something for us in this life. We don't follow Jesus by saying, well, we'll wait and see and we'll decide to follow him later. We'll kind of pick and choose when we follow him. No. We don't put expectations of family or culture ahead of him like the others had done. We do not follow Christ on our terms. We follow Jesus on his terms, and he wants the whole person. If Jesus calls you to follow him, then you follow him exactly when and where he leads you. Just as somebody plowing a field, is fixated on the job that they are doing. They're not looking back. They're not looking around. They're focused on doing their plowing correctly. We have a great example of this in the area that we live in because we have people that still plow fields by hand or with animals. When doing that, you can't just stop paying attention to what your horses or mules are doing. You can't start looking around at other things and look at the beautiful trees and how they're budding. If you do that, what's going to happen to your rows? They're going to be all crooked. You can't follow Jesus by looking around at what else the world has to offer, by looking around at other things, or by even looking at your own self. The only way that we can follow Jesus is by fixating on him and following him, being fully committed to him. This is what it means to be a disciple. It means that we are fully committed to being with, learning from, and following Jesus. That's not easy. It's not something that we're always going to get right every moment of the day. But that's what it means, being fully committed to being with, learning from, and following Jesus. So the question that we ask as we come toward the end of the sermon is, so what does that look like? It's one thing for me to say this is what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 9, but what about in real life? And so there's a couple of questions I think we can ask ourselves from each of these points. The first one about following Jesus wherever he leads us. Are we ready to do that? What if he leads you into the community and you have to start interacting with a bunch of people that are not Christians? Is that something that you're ready to do? Or would we really rather spend our time only with other people that are also Christians? What if Jesus calls you to follow him into those places? Okay, what about in the church? Something we're going to be talking about in a little bit, and this is more coincidental, although I think maybe the Lord had something to do with it. Something we're talking about in the church. How could you serve in the church? What could God be calling you to do? How could you follow him in serving others? Maybe in ways that you haven't really considered before. Could Jesus be leading you to open your home to other people or to give away possessions? What would it look like in your life to say, no, I know that I am following Jesus because I can see these changes that he has led me to? Or learning from Jesus. If we said we were going to talk about being with Jesus and learning from him, I think the first question we could ask ourselves is, so are we regularly in prayer to him and in the Bible? He has told us about himself in his word, so if we want to learn from him, that's where we turn first. And as we talk to him in prayer, as we pray to him, I do believe that the Spirit opens our eyes and gives us understanding as we pray to him. So that's the starting point. Are we praying and reading the Bible? Another question, though, are you regularly at church, at the church building, in church, with other Christians at least, with other Christians talking about the Bible so that you can understand it better? And what about the purpose? We talked about this in the message. The purpose of learning, the purpose of being with Christ is not so that we can just keep all of that to ourselves. Maybe it starts by helping us grow and helping us change, but it doesn't stay there. It then goes into learning from him so that we can tell others. Are you ready to tell others? Is that a little bit scary? It can be. It can be for me. But that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who not only accepts but also assists in spreading the message. Are you ready to tell others the things that you have learned from Jesus? And finally, the questions that we could consider about being fully committed to Jesus in our own lives. What would it look like for you to say that you are financially fully committed to Jesus? This question has often been asked of me, and so I'll ask it of you. The question is, if we would look at your bank account, if we would look at where it is that you spend your money, could we get a pretty good idea of the things that you think are valuable? Yes, that's how we kind of show people how we what we think is valuable, is what we spend our money on. So, are you fully committed to Jesus, or are there other things that you are more committed to? I'm not asking here for a specific dollar amount. I'm asking for you to consider, what would it look like for you to say that financially you are fully committed to Jesus and not yourself? The same could be asked of time commitments. Where you spend your time shows us about the things that you think are important. So are you spending time with Christ? Are you spending time telling others about him? Are you spending time learning from him and with other Christians? Or is your time spent primarily for yourself? We could ask these questions of other things. Your vocation, your job. We could ask it about your talents or your spiritual gifts. How are you using the things that God has given you? Does your life show that you are committed to Jesus, or is it just something that you say? Our lives should show that we are fully committed to Jesus. That if anybody stopped and looked, they'd say the regular pattern of this person's life demonstrates that they care more about God, more about Jesus Christ and his gospel, than they even do about themselves. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he expects us to follow exactly when and where and how far he will lead us. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, not just a believer, not just someone who accepts that what Jesus has done is true, but somebody who is committed to following Jesus. It's not just that you're saved from your sins, although that is wonderful. That is necessary. That's the starting point. But it's also what we learn about being with Jesus and how we then show that in our lives and go and tell others, even as we demonstrate with our lives that we love and follow Jesus. This is what Jesus calls us to be, disciples, to be fully committed to learning from and following him each day that he has given us. I hope, I pray that we will each be able to think about that and be able to say, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus. Or maybe you're not there. Maybe what you need to say is, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I would love to talk to you about that. I'm sure that there's other people that would love to talk to you about that. And that will also be part of what we're talking about in the sermon next week. How can we help each other follow Jesus? How can we be part of discipling other people? I hope that we can say that we are fully committed to learning from and following Jesus each day. And if not, I'd ask you to come and talk to me, to come and talk to someone else, and say, how can I be fully committed?